This is a Defocus Media production. What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, resident optometry nerd.
And welcome to Defocus Media, optometry's number one podcast, where we discuss the hottest topics, latest technology, eyewear, practice management, and more. So sit back, relax, and defocus. What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover. Happy Monday. I hope everyone had an incredible weekend. I know mine was great. I got to hang out with my family. I got to go out and have some good drinks, some good food. And today, I get to start off the week right. Because I get to start off the week right with a star. A star that has changed the eye care industry, but a star that also has a unique background. And with this star today, we're going to talk about three things. Three things that I know resonates with everyone. Optometry being number one, right? I know we all love optometry. Number two, we're going to talk about books. We all like to read. We like to educate ourselves and make sure that we're better and grow day in and day out. And then lastly, we're going to talk about brew. Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about brew. This conversation is going down today. Friends and family, I'd like to welcome my colleague, Dr. Kriti Bhagat. How are you doing today?
Great. Like you said, great weekend and starting the week off right.
Awesome. Now, normally when I get started with the show, I like to jump into the background of who you are, this, that, and the third. But before we do that, I want to talk about your weekend because you had a hell of a weekend. I was having a conversation with you prior to the show and your hand went up and I saw something that looked like a bandage on your finger. So if you don't mind showing the world your finger and share the story behind your finger before we jump into your introduction and who you are, because this is a story that everyone has to hear.
So you would think that I would learn my lesson and not do something that would have caused a hairline fracture from before, but nope, I don't learn my lessons. So I injured it this weekend playing football with some family, and I love playing football, flag football or just, you know, regular football. And I ended up hurting it. I dove for a catch, scraped my side, almost took my nose off, but the only thing I really did was I refractured my finger.
Well, I could say you do everything. And that's what I really want to get into today. And if you don't mind just giving us, you know, a background, let's really walk through your journey today. But let's know who you are, where you're from, where you graduated from school, and how did you get into the eye care industry, this amazing industry, our amazing profession, if you don't mind sharing that with us today.
I agree. I am so blessed that I was able to find my way through this industry. Our profession is amazing, and I'm really thankful that I was able to find my way here. So I grew up in Massachusetts. That's where my family still is. And I went to UMass Amherst. I went to UMass Amherst to study psychology and neuroscience. And then while I was there, I knew I wanted to go into the healthcare profession. My entire family is full of everyone in the healthcare industry. So I kind of knew that's where I wanted to go, but I didn't know which route. So I started shadowing different doctors, podiatrists, internal medicine, primary care, and somehow I ended up at the healthcare services at UMass, and that's where I found the optometrist there. He was a specialist in dry eye and red eye, and around that time, 15 years ago, more than that, I think the big conversation was red eye and how red eye is such a vague or diverse, you know, symptom or sign. So that's kind of how I got into it. I shadowed him, saw a lot of college students. I was able to really shadow and see that he had a really strong connection with each patient. And I love that. That's the aspect that I absolutely loved about it. So I looked in more into it. And then I graduated undergrad a year early. So I took that year in between applying as to work as a technician, as an ophthalmic tech. And so kind of getting the clinical skills, it was neat. Like, I was really thankful that I had that. So I knew how to do tonometry, refractions. I knew how to do, you know, everything clinical skills wise, but I didn't know what I was doing or why. So it was interesting. So I knew how to check for pupils, but I didn't know how to check for APD. But then first year comes around and you learn exactly the science behind it. So I was thankful I had that experience. And then I chose to go to PCO. PCO started clinic very early on in, you know, you're very familiar with that. PCO
hey,
grad.
Shout out to PCO. PCO that's where I come from. That's my school. I love PCO. They're doing some amazing things. And clearly, they produce the best ODs, right?
The best. So I was really thankful to go there. My education at PCO was amazing. I was able to start clinic first year, made some amazing colleagues and lifelong friends there. So really thankful for my time there. And then as third and fourth year came around at PCO, I decided I wanted to do a residency and applied for different cornea contact lens residencies. I had to stay in-house. I loved being there, so I did my residency at PCO, and I'm thankful that I matched at PCO. So I did cornea and contact lens residency there. Absolutely loved and enjoyed my time there. And one of the biggest reasons why I did a residency for me personally was I wanted to be in academia. I really realized that I liked teaching. So I did my residency, and I once again was very thankful that I was able to stay on as faculty and join their contact lens team there. So that's a little bit of my journey there. I stayed on, and then, here I am working in private practice in Rhode Island.
I love it. I love it. And that's what I want to do today is break down that journey a little more in detail. As I mentioned, top of the show, we're definitely going to get into optometry, books, and brew. But let's start off with optometry. I'm curious to learn a little bit more about that career in academia because there's not a lot of folks that come out of optometry school that say, I want to go into academia. I want to teach. I want to do research. So I really want to just kind of get, what were you thinking? What was your goal? What was that journey like as well? Because there's a lot of students, a lot of young docs that listen to this show and they're on the verge of, or they're trying to figure out which direction they want to go in eye care. And I think academia is one of those buckets that we really haven't touched on quite a bit on this show. So I'd love to get your expertise and your guidance for everyone that's listening of, why you went that direction and just kind of paint the picture of what the experience has been like overall.
Absolutely. It's interesting because I like teaching. I enjoy it. I like getting to meet all the students. There's so many bright minds out there, and I feel like they think very differently compared to when you're out working a few into it for a few years. So I find myself learning from them a lot. When I decided I wanted to be in academia, I found that one of my strong suits was working with others and teaching by being a TA. And so that was one of my biggest reasons why I wanted to stay in academia. And I think my second reason was a little selfish. Once you graduate and you decide you're going to do a residency, you don't know what to do after. I feel like it's scary to think that you won't be in school. I feel like me and all my, 15 colored pencils and notes and all of that, like I didn't know, I was too scared to go into the real world, I guess. And I love that I could actually stay and be a part of the school where I went to school and I worked with a lot of our colleagues there. So I think that was my second reason for choosing academia.
I love it. And I'll throw a third reason out there for you as well, because I learned this on the last show that I had last week with Dr. Monica. And she mentioned paying it forward, right? You learned from that institution, it made you an amazing optometrist, and you want to pay it forward. You want to give back to the students what you got. And being that you love to teach, you are clearly an educator, a professor. Anyone that does that in my eyes are paying it forward.
Academia, being in academia, it has taken my career to a whole nother level. So if yes, someone's thinking about going into academia, sometimes one of the biggest reasons why people won't go into academia or kind of are hesitant is yes, you don't get paid as much in academia as you do when you come out in private practice or you start seeing patients in a retail setting or any other setting. I think academia, when we look at the surveys, that's probably the least paid, but you don't realize what you get from just the rewards that you get from teaching. Some of the students that I've taught, I am still connected with them. I had the wonderful opportunity last month to attend a wedding for a student that I had. And it's just, you feel grateful. And those are relationships that will last a lifetime. So I think, yes, you get a lot of rewards that are not maybe monetary, but those are things I think after you realize you're like, monetary doesn't really add up to that.
Absolutely. And I agree with you 100%. I actually had the opportunity to have an extern at my office for her clerkship. Kayla Hawkins, one of my mentees. Shout out to Kayla. She's doing an amazing job over at PCO. And for the summer clerkship, you have to come and I think do about 8 weeks of shadowing and
the optical area and learn more about lens frame solutions and things like that. And I had the opportunity to host her. And when I tell you that, I felt so good afterwards. I was like, man, I could get used to this. So I hit up my the director of preceptors, Dr. Simon Saeed over at my eye doctor. I was like, man, you got me on this one, man. I may need to do more. So I'm expecting my second student coming this summer, probably within the next week or so as well, to be able to continue that. And when I tell you that, it was so rewarding, it was so touching, it just felt good to educate, to show, you know, how to have a conversation with a patient, how to look at lens options. You know, it's just a fantastic feeling, just inside and out. And the students can tell when you're genuine about it, because they light up as well. And it's just a great feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like they push you out of your comfort zone. So you're used to doing something every single day a certain way, and then they come in and they have all these ideas. They have so much energy, and the questions they ask, it's like, wait, why didn't I think of that? Or wait, I never thought, I don't really know why we do things that way. So it's fun. They keep it fresh.
Yeah, they keep it fresh for sure. And they keep you on your toes. I had another extern that was in my office, and he had me going home reading my will's eye. Cause I was like, cause you know, sometimes everything's on autopilot. You just go, you go, you go, you go. And sometimes you forget. And I was like, well, damn, that's a great ass question. I said, you figure it out and respond back to me tomorrow, or report to me tomorrow. And I went home to go look it up myself so I could be mentally prepared to engage with him and have a great conversation as well. Now,
and that's academia.
That's academia for you.
Yeah, that's academia every single day, every day.
Yeah, and I love it. It keeps you on your toes. Now, let me ask you this. What does it take to work in a school? Do you have to do a residency? Do you have to have X amount of hours or something? What does that process look like for a student that may be graduating this coming up year and they're trying to figure out which direction they want to go?
So I'm not sure on exact requirements, but I do know for most of the schools, if you do want to be on their academic team, on faculty, you have to do a residency. So that was one of my biggest reasons for doing a residency, is because I believe it's a requirement to work at the VA and at the schools. But I will say this, that if you're a seasoned optometrist and you're someone that, you know, hasn't done a residency, don't let that deter you from just inquiring or asking, because there are many roles that you can play in academia, and it doesn't have to be being a full-time professor at the university. So definitely don't let not doing a residency deter you. But if you're a student looking into it and you're really interested in being a part of academia full time, I believe it is a requirement.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So let's switch gears a little bit. Academia to private practice. That's a big jump. I'd love to know if that was a smooth jump, or did you have some hurdles? And then also, how did academia help you, or how has it helped you in private practice as well?
So my jump was interesting. I wasn't expecting it. I lived in Philadelphia, but my family was in Massachusetts. So it wasn't too bad of, you know, distance wise. But I think it had been about a year or two that I'd been thinking, I want to move back close to friends and family, maybe make a change. But I loved where I was. So I was just casually looking, and I found a private practice that was looking for a doctor with specialty lens experience.
Okay. And
I will kind of get into it, but I love specialty contact lenses. Absolutely love it. And that's, I think, what brings me the most joy. And so to hear that there was a private practice looking for someone, and they had a lot of patients that were wearing specialty lenses, especially scleral contact lenses, I was intrigued. And so I was hired. And, you know, when you say if it was a smooth road or a bumpy road, I moved to Rhode Island, and come to find out, the practice closed down for multiple reasons. But I was left a little jobless after moving for a few months. And, you know, I was able to find my way to a private practice, work, and things work out. Things work out. And I'm, you know, things worked out for me too. So I'm really glad. So I work in two different private practices right now. One is with a corneal ophthalmologist, and the other is with two optometrists that are PCO grads. And kind of, it's really nice to have that. Both practices are wonderful, and they're different in their own ways. So I get to really practice full scope optometry.
I love it. And, you know, I love that you highlighted that, because when it comes to optometry, our profession is diverse. And when I say diverse, I'm talking about modes of practice. Again, on the last podcast I had, we touched a little bit on this as well, but being able to work with optometrists, being able to work with OMDs, it really spices up your day because you're going to see different things in both settings. But at the end of the day, you're still doing the one thing that you love. And that's, you know, creating value for people when it comes to vision. And you're doing that day in and day out, and you're doing a hell of a job doing it.
Thank you. But you're right. You're absolutely right. Like in my one private practice where I work with the corneal ophthalmologist, we don't have a really strong optical, but with the practice with the optometrist, we have a really strong optical. And so in the past year, I've started working there and I've really had the chance to learn more about lenses and, you know, all of the different parts of an optical that I think for years I just never had to focus on or work with. So it's great because I feel like I'm learning a lot too.
Yeah. Well, something I wanted to circle back on, a specialty contact lens, because I had the opportunity of attending the National Optometric Association. And although I didn't get to make it to your lecture, everyone that came out of your lecture came up to me and was bragging about it and talking about it. As a matter of fact, we have a comment right here from Dr. Norwood. She enjoyed your lecture at the NOA. So I really wanted to touch on, you know, specialty contacts, in particular colored contacts, prosthetics, and contacts made for Hollywood. I would love to dive deep into that. If you don't mind, just maybe taking it from the top and kind of walking us through, you know, what you do when you say specialty contact lens.
Absolutely. So for specialty contact lenses, I feel like I've had the pleasure of working with a lot of colleagues in the state. And some of the colleagues do know me as the person, you know, if they don't want to do a contact lens fit, a certain one, they'll send them over or they'll just call and ask, hey, do we have the technology to do something like this with contacts? And I absolutely love that because I have more doctors thinking about contacts and all the different ways that we can help our patients. And sometimes we forget about these things. So colored contact lenses, right? When's the last time you thought about colored contact lenses without a patient asking you about that? Yeah. So I feel like I've forgotten about that too until I started fitting a lot of patients with them. So some of the things I talk about is just the experiences that I've had personally and how it's inspired me to kind of go out into the community and really talk more about specialty lenses. So I do scleral lenses, orthokeratology. I still absolutely love RGPs. That's probably my favorite lens to fit because to me, that seems to be the easiest one to fit, which is funny because I know a lot of friends that are afraid of fitting RGPs. And then custom colored lenses, so tinted lenses or prosthetic lenses. And with some of the colored lenses, it's interesting. I didn't think that I would have to educate people so much, but I have this funny story of, so I was a bridesmaid for a wedding and the makeup artist comes in and she, you know, she brings her roller bag full of makeup and everything in there. Yeah. And she opens it up, you know, she asks like, what kind of false eyelashes do you want to put on? What kind of eyeshadow, you know, what kind of look do you want? And then next thing you know, she opens up a bag that has all these different colored contact lenses.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and I really, really did try to play it as cool as I could. And I asked her questions. This is really neat. Where'd you get these? And, you know, oh, you just give them out like that? She's like, no, I'll put them on. And then I'm like, how do people take them off? And she's like, they figure it out.
Wow.
So wow. That is kind of that led to me kind of going out into my community and asking and inviting a bunch of hairstylists or makeup artists to come into the practice and really just educate them on, hey, colored contact lenses are actually a medical device. So yeah. If you want one of your clients to be fit in it, we can fit them ahead of time, right? And that way they can wear them safely for the wedding or whatever event they're going for. So it's kind of neat how I got into that. And that, I think one thing led to another with referrals, and I have a lot of patients coming in that way.
Fantastic. My sister-in-law is a makeup artist, and we always have these conversations about makeup, dry eyes, contacts, all that jazz. And I send her articles, and she's very receptive. So, you know, with that being said, it sounds like with you as well, you know, makeup artists, folks that deal with anything that's with the face, they are receptive to the information that we have to give. You just got to reach out and make that partnership and be active in your community. And keep in mind, you don't have to talk to a million people. Just one conversation with one person can change that person's life and change the patient's life that may be in their chair getting that makeup or those false lashes as well. And before you know it, it'll be a ripple effect. And then everyone will be aware of how eyes are very precious and that you cannot just put anything on the eyes, and that contacts are medical devices, and that dry eye is a real deal, and that you got to be careful with makeup. So I love that.
I agree with you. And it's just interesting how it leads from one person to another. And like you said, they're very receptive. They understand. Yeah. I think a lot of people are shocked. They're like, wait, it's a medical device?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Now, I would love to pick some time on color contacts, because for me, I have actually a pretty decent base that asks for colored contacts. But the only option that I really use is just the basic brand that's on the market, you know, Air Optics Aqua colored contacts, right? The colors. Outside of that, I don't really do anything. If that doesn't fix it, I don't prescribe it. So it sounds like I'm doing my patients a disservice. What recommendations, what advice, where should I go if I want to take my patient care to the next level for patients that say, hey, these colors don't really complement my eyes. They look fake. They don't look real. They don't look natural. You know, how can I elevate my care for my patients?
So that's a really good question, because I think the one that I use the most is the one from Alcon. Okay. Their dailies disposable and the Air Optics one. And I kind of define colored lenses in two different ways for me. One is mass produced lenses, and that kind of, you know, Air Optics and dailies colors kind of falls under that. And then same thing goes for, there's the Define lens by AccuView, just a little bit of sudden hint of a change, not too much, right? So those are both great options that I use for patients. But then somebody who's looking for a little bit more custom or Halloween contact lenses, definitely for those, there are vendors. Orion is a great company. They do a lot of tinted lenses, so I like using them. And then, to be honest with you, because I am who I am and I've done this, there's a lot of companies on Instagram that are out there that will work with you, and they'll send you the contact lens. They'll send me the specifics on the materials they use and what kind of pigment they're using. And then they'll work with me to make sure that I provide a prescription. Now, the one thing that I look for in any of the companies that I try to work with is I make sure that they're not selling their contact lenses direct to patients without a prescription. And there are some that are out there on Instagram, or even, you know, Instagram's probably the way that I found them, because now that we're talking about it, your phone's going to pull up with Instagram ads for colored lenses. But you'll see, like, there's some companies that will not sell it to patients without prescriptions. And those are companies I trust. And the last way, I think Vision Expo. If you attend Vision Expo, they have a lot of vendors that are there that you can kind of reach out to that do special colored lenses and Halloween lenses and stuff. But Orion's probably my biggest one that I use.
Gotcha. And Vision Expo is coming up, everyone, in September. That's right around the corner. So I'm looking forward to be there. I want to shake everyone's hands, kiss all the babies, get those big hugs, and have a great time. So I'm looking forward to seeing everyone there. Now, this has all been great information. I really appreciate it. Everything in optometry, from your journey through academia to private practice, to the two different modes of practice, to the specialty contacts and your favorite being RGPs, to the colored contact lens, and, you know, these different outlets to be able to get reliable contact lenses. But I really want to jump into your love for reading, because I love to read as well. And for me, it hit me a little later in life, right? I remember when I was younger, my dad would always say, read this book, read this book, read this book. My sister used to always have jokes on me and laugh at me, because I would end up sleeping on the book, and she would say, that's how you consume your information. I'm like, no, Michelle, that's not how I consume my information. The book was just boring as hell. That's all that was, right? But now that I got older, as you can tell behind me, and just like behind you, I have a love for reading. I have a passion for books, especially self-help books. So I'd love to know, how did you get into reading? And also, what genre do you like to read in particular?
So I've been reading ever since I was a kid. Honestly, so the funny thing about my dad is that he used to yell at me, because he would say to me all the time, read science books. What are you reading here? This is not a science book. And my thing was fiction. I loved reading fiction books. I think my love really started with the Harry Potter series.
Okay.
The books just hooked me. And that's where I just wanted to read all these different series of magical lands, something away from your everyday life, right? So fiction is probably my favorite genre. And my love just grew from there. recently with my Instagram page, I think that's taken reading to a whole different level, which led to this behind me and the extra bookcase I just had to add.
Well, your Instagram is on fire. I mean, number one, I love the aesthetic. It's just beautiful. I mean, I don't know who's doing your photography. If it's you, fantastic job. If it's not, make sure you pay them a little bit more because it's very appealing to the eyes. But let's talk about your Instagram a little bit. I'm looking at, you know, the last couple of books. I see Malibu Rising, Gold Diggers, Seven Husbands. Maybe give me an overview of what those books are about. I'm curious to know.
Yeah. So the Instagram page, I take the pictures, I edit them, and then I kind of set them up. So it started off as just a way to track books. So a funny story is that I kept posting pictures on my private page on my Instagram, just of books or coffee. And I started getting friends that were, you know, just making funny jokes like, oh, another book picture from you. So I started feeling like I needed to take it somewhere else. So I just started an Instagram page on it. I joined this community called Bookstagram. And yeah, it's an amazing community where, you know, everyone likes to read. They're posting their pictures. We work with different publishing houses. And so it really inspired me to change the different genres I read. So with Instagram, I post pictures of books when I'm reading. If I'm out traveling on the plane, I'll post pictures. And then I do reviews of books. So one of the ones I did recently, which I absolutely loved, was The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, right? I'll post a little review about what I think about it, which I absolutely love the book. It talks about Evelyn Hugo, who's a huge movie star, and she goes through seven different husbands, but it kind of relates back to how each one helped her phase her life in a different way and why she married them. But it's like very relevant to, I guess, just being in your 30s and kind of thinking about life, where it's going. For me, it was very relevant. So it was kind of neat to read that. And then what I do is I'll pair the book with a coffee. So this book was based in LA. I'll try to order some coffee beans from a local roastery from LA and read it with either a coffee or a beer that resonates with it. So, yeah. So that's kind of how the page started. And, you know, the page has also opened opportunities for me because recently I signed on to be an editor with two big publishing houses like Penguin and HarperCollins. And so I get some books that are not out in the real world yet. I get to use my red pen and just write everything on it, what I think, thoughts. And it feels fun. Like it's a fun thing.
And for those that are watching right now, I just pulled up the Instagram page, and you could clearly see the colors. They're robust, they're attractive, it draws you in. And just to hear the story and hearing more about how you connected with some type of brew, that's phenomenal and amazing. And I really want to dig a little more deeper into that, because prior to the show, you were telling me that optometry, books, brew, these are your three passions here. And when you say brew, you were telling me that that revolves around coffee and also beer. So I'd love to discuss that a little more in detail. You know, how did you get into coffee? How did you get into beer? And what are your favorites in particular?
I don't know how I got into coffee. I want to say it was just the way we all do, trying to stay up in school, study, use that extra boost, right? But when you're in school, you can only afford, you know, at-home Folgers, which is not bad. I still love Folgers. But I feel like I've kind of expanded my palate a little bit, and now I have seven different coffee machines at home. So I have a French press, I have an actual espresso machine, I have a Nespresso, a Keurig, so I'm a little obsessed. But as much as I want to say I'm a coffee snob, I just like my regular cup of Folgers sometimes too. So I kind of expand. You were telling me that you like Starbucks. What's your favorite drink at Starbucks?
So I keep it simple. I like Grande Pike Place with a little bit of ice on the bottom. I cannot drink it too hot, so it needs to be the perfect temperature. And whenever I go to Starbucks, they know exactly what I want. They know exactly who I am. Before I even pay, they're handing it to me. So that's what I drink, and I have one cup every single day. Now, if I have more than one cup, I'll probably drive my wife crazy. I'll probably drive my office crazy. I'll probably talk too much, and my patients will leave me. So just one cup is sufficient for me. But what about you? I know you like Starbucks as well.
I do. So I like to have a little bit of coffee with my cream and sugar or milk and sugar. So I like my caramel macchiatos.
Okay.
That's probably my go-to order, and it's with oat milk, and it gets my day started. Sometimes when I'm not in a good mood, I'll go to Starbucks, and that's it. Just makes it all better. You know the world's gonna be okay.
See, you're fancy. I gotta keep it simple. Once I start getting into all those other things, I get confused and I don't even know what the hell I'm drinking. So I just keep it simple and easy. They're like, "Do you need any milk? Would you like any cream with sugar?" I'm like, "Nope, just black." You know, whenever I go to a new location, but coffee is my thing. You know, for me, I love a nice coffee. Another place that I've had an incredible coffee, is First Watch. I don't know if you've been there, but they have their own blend of coffee that is phenomenal. I went there with someone for breakfast one day, and there wasn't a Starbucks around, so I ended up having to get their coffee. And when I tell you that that coffee was amazing, I mean, it blew my mind. My taste buds were jumping through the roof. I mean, it was so freaking good. And I wanted to go and buy some because you could take it home and brew your own. But I'll be up front with you. That coffee lac what do they call it? Latte factor or whatever. I go against that. I'm the guy that goes to Starbucks every day and I pay my $3.17 to buy my cup of coffee. That is my joy, that is my pleasure, and I will do that for the rest of my life.
That's so funny because I used to always go to Starbucks, and I agree with you. It's amazing how just a cup of coffee can just change your whole outlook for the day or how your day goes or anything that happens afterwards. But I will say that when you have seven machines at home, you have to start justifying that you're still using some of them at home.
That might be what we call a problem, right? You have an obsession with something there, but it's all good, long as you love it and you utilize it. Now tell me this, what are you pairing your coffee with today? What are you reading? What's been your favorite book? What's like number one top of mind whenever you drink a nice hot cup of coffee?
So I recently read a book that one of my our colleague, Adeline Bauer, she is a great friend of mine, and her and I have this thing recently where she'll bring a book for me at a conference that we meet up.
Okay.
So during Academy, she brought this book for me. It's called The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue.
Oh,
And it's
nice.
funny because her nickname is Addie.
That's
And
my
I
wife's
need to
name too.
So you should recommend this book to her. It's amazing. It kind of just makes you think of your life and where it is and how you want to do so much more. Addie LaRue's lived 400 years and she still loves living every single day, wants to see the world. And it makes you feel like I want to live more and do more. So when I have my caramel macchiato and the coffee starts kicking in, that's where you're thinking, oh, I have so much more to do, right? So that was a recent pairing that I thought was very interesting because, yeah, I read the book and I think I stayed up till 2 in the morning trying to work on things. And I was like, yes, I want to take over the world. And that's the feeling I got.
Well, it looks like Tracy is saying she's following you on Instagram and looking at the books you recommend, and she's loving it. I mean, throughout this entire show, everyone has just been giving you nothing but love. They're talking about how your energy and your enthusiasm is just contagious. They love your lectures. They love that you're plugging academia. You're the perfect person to have on this show to share your story. You're a superstar. I mean, everyone loves what you're doing. You are making an impact in the eye care industry. And I want to thank you on behalf of the eye care industry for all the great work that you have done. But don't get me on my stand preaching and all this, that, and the third. Let's get back to the books. What other books do you have in the mix right now as well?
So this is one that I want to recommend for all of us because I feel like with our profession, we're all trying to juggle so much
Yeah.
while we're trying to take care of our patients. But it gets hard. It gets really hard to,
Absolutely.
because we put patients first, we put students first, we put everyone else first except for us. And so I've kind of realized that I put myself a little bit on the back end. So this year's goal in 2022 was reading more nonfiction and a little bit more self-help, which is your genre.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I've gone through a few different books, but I will say my favorite one so far has been Atomic Habits.
Oh, you can't go wrong
Yes.
there. As a matter of fact, I got
There
it
you go. That's,
as
I mean, just look at it. It looks beautiful. And yes, I know they say don't judge a book by the cover, but I love beautiful covers.
You know, I do too. I'll put you on a little game, and I might have said this in the previous podcast. And you know, I'm busy, just like everyone else, right? I see patients. A lot of people don't believe I see patients, but I see patients 2 to 3 days a week, and my patient log is it's backed up, you know, 2-3 months. So I do see patients. I know people see me everywhere, but I see patients on a regular basis. I'm in the trenches with you. But having patients, having a family, you know, a son that's 5, a daughter that's 11 months, having a wife, liking to travel, being in my community, that all adds up and it doesn't give me time. So I like to listen to books on Audible, and then I like to buy the book to reference the book. And then also one of my colleagues, Dr. Adam Ramsey, put me on a game. Sometimes I listen to it on 1.5x or 2x speed. That way I can push through it a little quicker as well. See, I'm putting y'all on the game.
Yep.
But I love books and I use Audible. So those out there that may say I don't have enough time, there are different ways to be able to crack open a book and get the knowledge and make yourself better, become a better leader, manage your time more efficiently. You just got to want it more than anything. Now, something that I noticed when you put that book up, it doesn't look like mine. I don't have anything written here. Can you show that one more time? Yikes. Okay, so for those that are not on the visual, maybe listening to this on iTunes and all those other platforms, her book has a ton of tabs, probably 1,000 tabs that are documented there, probably for some good information that's going to make your life a lot easier, I take it.
So that's kind of how I, that's my bookmark. My bookmark is those 5 different tabs. So I just put that in and I always read a book with a highlighter close by. And I don't know, it, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, I feel like there's always quotes or something I want to remember. And nothing annoys me more than the dog ears. The dog ears on a book when someone folds a little tab in. Oh no, No. So yeah.
I'm trying to find my book that I have that's probably going to make you very upset. But are you referring to this?
All the these tabs. Yep.
See, that's how I take my notes, by the tab there. But you know what? At the top of the show, you said that, you know, when you got out of school, you didn't know that you were going to escape academia. You wanted your highlighters. You wanted your pens. Well, guess what? To this day, you're still putting them to use. Yep. So you're getting your money worth out of those pens and highlighters for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I keep them right close by to me.
So let's continue this journey. We do coffee in the morning, but what's up with the brew? How did you get into beer? And what is your favorite type of beer?
So I grew up with a lot of brothers in my life, just brothers, cousins that are guys. And so everyone always drank beer in my family. And then that's kind of what made me trying to want to fit in with them early on. I always wanted to be like them. So that's where the football craze came. And that's where a little bit of, you know, drinking beer. So I fit in with them. So they didn't think I was too girly. I was a tomboy and that was me growing up. So, and I'm really glad because I see that a lot of women drink beer and I love that. So, you know, I started drinking beer and I love drinking beer while I'm reading a book. It's kind of like your way, my way of winding down at night. I lived in an apartment complex once that had a rooftop and that was my way of turning off. Every evening when it was nice, I would go upstairs. I'd bring 2 beers with me. I'd go up and just read, have my 2 beers. And that was just my way of winding down whenever I could. So I drink a lot of different beers. My favorite has to be wheat ales. So just kind of like what you know, blonde ale or wheat ale, which is a little bit similar to Blue Moons. Yep. And yeah. Do you like Blue Moons?
Yeah. I know we mentioned that prior to the show. Yeah. I don't drink beer like that, but I like that Blue Moon, that citrus taste. It just excites my taste buds and it's not too dry. I mean, it's funny. I like red wine, which is very dry, right? But I don't like a very dry beer. It needs to have some type of flavor that's really going to excite my taste buds. And that's the one that does it for me whenever I do end up drinking beer. My mother loves beer, so I end up drinking beer with her whenever we go out. Or margaritas, because she likes those too.
Well, I like wine. I like regular cocktails too. But I think when it comes to what I'll pick, it's always beer. If you like the ones that are flavored, I would say whenever you're on the East Coast, you have like in Massachusetts or New England area, you're going to have to try out the Wachusett Blueberry Ale. It's one of the best ones that I've had. So, But that's kind of where I went with brew, because both coffee and beer are brewed. And so it was in the morning you have coffee, and then in the evening you can have a beer and you're reading.
There you go. Everything you do is very creative, which is a big representation of what your first name means. So it all comes together now. I love it.
I try to be.
I love it. You're not trying. You're doing it. You know, and, you know, something that I always like to ask all my guests, especially before we end the show, is, you know, you've done so much NICARE. You clearly have dedicated your life to this profession. You have helped, you know, patients that want colored contact lens, but stubborn doctors don't fit them in them or don't find solutions to accommodate their eye color. You've helped, you know, patients, you know, with RGP specialty lenses. You've been in academia, you've been in private practice. You know, I just want to know, what's your impact on eye care? What do you want to be known for? What's the legacy that you want to create?
So when you ask the question legacy or known for, I think my biggest thing is that I want to be known as someone that you enjoy working with. Mm. I think that's my big thing. If it's someone that you enjoy working with or collaborating with, or, you know, like some of these amazing colleagues that came out from the last lecture and had good things to say, I think that leads to working with more of your state association or more working more with different programs, and you're getting the word out there. Right. So absolutely. I think that's what I want to do. I would just want to be part of kind of pushing for advocacy or pushing for what is an optometrist. Right. And kind of working with our colleagues. I just want to be known for that.
I love it. I love it. And you're doing that. And, you know, I normally that's the last question I ask, but I got to ask one more question, because a little birdie told me you've actually done something for Hollywood, for the movie industry. And before we end this show, you got to share that information, because that's game changer. There's not a lot of people that can say that they have done what you're about to tell us. So if you don't mind sharing that news.
Absolutely. So I don't know if there's any Hocus Pocus fans here. So love the Hocus Pocus movie. Absolutely big fan. I watch it every Halloween. And I was really like amazed to hear that they were shooting in Rhode Island for Hocus Pocus 2. So they just wrapped up shooting here a few months ago, and I work with RISD, which is the Rhode Island School of Design here that's local, and I help them with their theatrical contact lenses, which has been a privilege. And so one thing led to another, and I had the privilege of fitting some of the actors that are in the movie with some specialty colored lenses. So be on the lookout. I don't know what clips, I don't know what, you know, how much they'll show, but if you see any colored contact lenses, hopefully they'll be the ones that I fit.
Now tell me, do you get any kind of credit at all? Are they going to show that at the end of the movies? Have you figured out that piece yet?
No, I was just really kind of bragging rights on my own. It was really exciting to know that I was able to do that, but they don't have any credits. I think they just have credits for costume and the director of costumes.
I love it. Well, continue the great work. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a pleasure. And I can't wait to see what you have in store for us for the future. I mean, this is a stepping stone, right? This Hocus Pocus, before we know it, we're going to see your name, your face everywhere as, you know, the eye care go-to for celebrities and for Hollywood. And I'm just going to be so happy that I was able to shake your hand and also interview you. But continue the great work. Thank you for everything that you do for our profession. Everyone out there, if you need anything, feel free to reach out to Dr. Bhagat. What's the best way of reaching out to you? What's the best communication? Instagram, email, whatever you want to leave behind. If you don't mind doing that, that'll be fantastic.
So Instagram's probably the easiest way of getting in touch with me, because I'm always trying to read. So I'm always on the page. And then the other way is probably LinkedIn. So I'm on LinkedIn and with Instagram, which is brew.reading for Instagram. And then for LinkedIn, it's just my name.
Fantastic. Well, thanks again. Shout out to everyone out there in the world that's listening. Be sure to tune in every week. We're always going to drop some amazing content. We're going to bring the journey of some amazing eye care professionals that are changing the game, making an impact, and elevating eye care, not just doctor to doctor, but doctor to patient. We're always going to bring the hottest and the greatest information out there to you. It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover. Stay healthy, positive, and blessed. And until next time.
All right, colleagues, and it's a wrap. Thank you dearly for hanging out with the Defocus Media team. We hope truly something resonated with you. And if it did, be sure to give us 5 stars. And make sure you follow us on all social media platforms. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, you name it. And our handle is at Defocus Media on all platforms. And until next time, be sure to keep it 2020. And we look forward to seeing you on the next episode.